This is the
Touchdowns and Tangents podcast
with
Kenneth Frank James Berry.
Come on, dog! You can't finish my sentence,
and I'm coming off really dry right now. Like you're coming off real dry with that Swiss Beats intro. That was trash.
You don't like my corniness?
Nah, that was too corny. It upset me.
And I'm PD Camarillo, and we are culture vulturing / podcasting /
strong talking independent shit. Black women. No, I'm just playing. I'm sorry.
And hence the name, Touchdowns and Tangents, because we love going on tangents and talking about random stuff.
And I love strong independent black women.
But anyways, this show is mostly about football, some shit talk, and the occasional culture / political / societal rant.
Yeah, pretty much. Or a diatribe.
So for those of you who've never listened to us, hopefully you'll stick around. You might learn something. You might have a laugh. You might be entertained. Or you may never listen again.
And it's the holiday season. So, I mean, you know, everybody's out of school. Some of y'all might have bad grades. Some of y'all might have good grades. But you know what? This will at least be something to take your mind off things.
So with all that said, we thank you for listening to us on Speaker, iTunes, Spreaker, SoundCloud, YouTube, Facebook, whatever else the kids are using these days.
In your grandmama's house because she finally got that Wi-Fi hookup now. Or your aunt's house, the cousin with the really great Wi-Fi, even though you hate eating their food, but whatever.
Okay. Or your girl's parents' house.
And even though, like, one of her sisters actually wants to bone you, but you gotta keep it, like, on the low and pretend like you ain't trying to smash her either because you don't want to ruin your relationship.
Anyways, let's get into it, Kenneth. I know there's some stuff you want to talk about as far as college football, so I'll let you go ahead and get into it, man.
Okay. The biggest storyline, or one of the biggest realities of from the playoffs and from just the minutia of college football politics, is that you got star players such as, it first started with LSU running back Leonard Fournette saying he would forego and skip his team's bowl game to get healthy and prepare for the draft. And then a couple days later, you had Christian McCaffrey, the Stanford running back. And, well, let's be honest, he should have won the Heisman last year, but whatever. He skipping his bowl game as well. Stanford, it's like the Cactus Bowl. Or, because LSU's playing in the Citrus Bowl. And then Shaq Linwood from Baylor decided, oh, he's going to skip his bowl game against Boise State. Thus ending his college career because he's a senior. And the biggest thing is people like Ezekiel Elliott are coming out saying, oh, well, you know, I would give anything to play my brothers for that last time. And the whole debate pretty much is that are players obligated to play? If you know you're going to go to the NFL, are you really obligated to play that bowl game? Or are you obligated to just look out for yourself? In this case, because of the playoff, you know you're not playing for a national title. And really, that bowl game win means nothing for LSU's program at Stanford. It's kind of actually a step down. And in reality, those two guys playing, like, McCaffrey had an undisclosed injury in the year that almost took his whole season out.
So here's the thing, right?
Do they really owe it to anybody other than their families and themselves to play in these bowl games now?
So here's the thing, right? So like you said, these bowl games are glorified exhibitions, right? They don't really mean anything for standings. It's really just a ploy for universities to get money and for sponsorships to get eyeballs.
And free Little Caesars pizza after certain bowl games.
Which is all fine and dandy. But at the end of the day, football, what makes football great is that it can end at any moment, right? So with that comes the territory of like, yeah, maybe I shouldn't play in this exhibition game. But at the same time, it's kind of like, I may not get drafted. I may not go that high. I may not be a starter in the league. I may not make a roster. So if you have a guaranteed game where you're the star, where you're going to be playing with the people you've been training with and stuff like that, I personally feel like you should play because of the tradition and stuff that goes along with that. But even beyond that, I get where these players are coming from. You know, you don't want to risk injury. You don't want to hurt yourself. Because realistically, at this point, guys like McCaffrey are going to hurt their stock more than help it with this bowl game. A la Derek Carr. One of the reasons why he fell is because USC made him look terrible in the bowl game.
Yeah, I don't think he fell because of that. I think
that was one of the main reasons why he fell.
He put up video game numbers all season. And he threw hella
bubble screens.
The offense, but that's... And he's Derek Carr's brother.
But that's what I'm saying.
David Carr's
brother. Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. A lot of the knock on it was that bowl game because that was the last image that people had of him. And so... And not just that, but if we want to get really into it, the whole idea of paying college football players and stuff like that, if we're going to get any progress towards that, if we're going to get any more benefits for student athletes, boycotting these bowl games may be what it's for. But that's not why these guys are doing it. These guys are doing it because they don't want to get hurt.
And they're running backs. They already have a... This is one of the greatest running back classes probably
ever. So basically what I'm saying is this is a complicated situation. And really, I don't really think there's a right or a wrong. I feel like it's case-by-case basis. And these people have the right to their own likeness and their own health. And if they feel like they don't want to play, then that's on them. Like Nick Saban said, you can't blame the kids.
Yeah, I say it's right because it's a business. I mean, you got USC. Like, this is a program-defining...
I wouldn't do it, but...
Like, USC, like... Juju Smith-Schuster, Dory Jackson, like, they kind of need to play because they need to improve their stock because one's a fringe first-rounder and the other one's probably going to be a third or fourth-round pick. Let's just be honest. Juju Smith-Schuster has been injury-prone since he came to USC. He's managed to fight through it, but at the same time...
And then you'll get a jersey if he goes to the Rams or the Raiders or Chargers.
That's disgusting. But anyway...
Your three favorite teams.
Shut up. No. It's not even close. But, Yeah, like, guys like this, I think it varies. Like, Leonard Williams benefited greatly from playing in the Holiday Bowl against Nebraska because he destroyed their entire offensive line by himself, you know, and they won. So, and that's what kind of propelled him to being the sixth overall pick in the draft. And some people even would say he fell. But, yeah, ultimately, I think I have no problem with college athletes skipping these bowl games. Like, if it was somebody off a team like USC where it's like, you guys have been bad for so long, you have all this five-star talent, and now that you finally get a shot to put USC back on the map and you're not going to play and make a business decision, it's kind of like, yeah, that's kind of janky. That's kind of foul. But in terms of, like, an LSU where they've already said, Ogeron's the head coach, but they already have another running back, I think, Geese, or G-U-I-C, I don't know how to say his last name, who's already rushed for over 1,000 yards and has better stats than Fournette anyway. They didn't really need Fournette. And honestly, they didn't deserve, LSU never deserved Leonard Fournette because they never used him properly and they never put a quarterback on that roster who could actually, you know, A, make the receivers better and actually show off the receivers that they have because they have some talented receivers and you know, not load the box on Fournette every play. That's probably one of the reasons why he got hurt. And, yeah. And, honestly, Stanford, of all people, Christian McCaffrey doesn't owe anybody at Stanford a damn thing. He put Stanford back on the map, probably more than ever, with just, like, the fact that he should have won the Heisman in the year he had. So, but anyway, one last thing for college football. Danelle Pumphrey, San Diego State running back, who's now considered statistically the all-time leading rusher in college football history. Everyone's having a problem with that, and Ron Dayton is kind of is too, because even though he beat Ron Dayton's mark of, it was like 6,300 yards, 6,397 or something like that, he beat his mark, but the problem is that he beat that including stats from his bowl game. Like, that's how he broke the record. But back when Ron Dane was playing, guys like, what's his name? Tony Dorsett, when they were playing, they didn't count bowl game stats as part of your overall season stats. Because if they did, Ron Dane would still be the all-time leading rusher with almost about 7,200 yards rushing.
Which circles back to the point that these games really don't matter.
Yeah, there you go. And they just kind of wanted to
But then again, all games matter.
No, they don't. Shut the hell up.
All games don't matter?
Okay, Protractor. Stop it, Protractor Airline. Yeah, put the beanie back on. You have the perfect hair for radio.
Why are you talking about my hairline right now? I didn't even say anything to you. I wasn't even being mean.
I know, but you're being, you're being petty with that whole remark, and you know you were. I had to bring you back down to earth. Stop being petty.
I wasn't trivializing you. I was just trying to make it funny.
You're trying to make it funny?
Yeah.
You hang around too many corny people, dog.
I work in corporate America, man. Damn, leave me alone.
Excuses. Leave work at work. Don't bring it home with you.
All right, let me talk about what I want to talk about now.
But anyway, to finish, even though Pumphrey was a great running back for San Diego State, and other than Marshall Faulk, the greatest running back in that school's history, he's not the all-time leading rusher. Like, it's not even close. Don't kid yourself. In the modern day era, he's the all-time leading rusher. But, yeah.
Anyways, so let's hop into some West Coast football for a minute here. Shout out to the Raiders for clinching the first playoff berth in 14 years.
2002, Super Bowl, 48.
You know what?
Points.
Actually, I think it's, well, I guess if you count this year, so 14 years.
Yeah.
Because it was technically the 2001-2002 season that they made it.
Yeah.
So, 14 years. Either way, shout out to them. Del Rio, return to greatness.
Oakland versus everybody.
And hopping off of that to the polar opposite, the Los Angeles Rams. Shout out to all the people on LA radio who said the Los Angeles Rams had a better future ahead of them than the Oakland Raiders.
Ha!
Shout out to all the callers who called in and said that they'd rather have the LA Rams than the Raiders. Because guess what,
it.
LA?
You got it.
You got it, and you don't even deserve the Raiders, so. And I live in LA, and I'm a diehard Raiders fan, and I can look you in the eye and say that. You don't deserve the Raiders.
We don't even want you at the games.
Nonetheless.
You're bad juju.
Nonetheless, before I keep getting petty with this.
Because the Rams are the smush parkers of the NFL.
Speaking of petty, let's talk about Jeff Fisher.
Haha. You mean the losingest head coach in the history of the NFL?
He's tied for the losingest. So, had he coached on Thursday, he would have got the record. So Rams didn't even want to give him the record. So
he and Dan Reeves are the biggest losers in NFL history.
Dan Reeves has more Super Bowl appearances. So
any rings?
He has more Super Bowl appearances.
So no rings. They both just lifetime losers in the NFL. Good to know.
You don't talk bad about Dan Reeves. That's Michael Vick's guy. That's my guy by association.
Okay. I mean, technically it's Jim Moore's guy, but whatever.
Nonetheless.
Jim Moore Jr.'s guy.
Actually, yeah, there's a whole conflict about that. We don't need to get into it. It's a tangent.
Because, I mean, yeah.
Because Jim Moore Sr. called Michael Vick a coach killer because he got Jim Moore Jr. fired when really he didn't. He got hurt. Jim Moore Jr. kind of just
turned his back on him.
Yeah. So, anyways. Anyways, I forgot where I was going. Oh, Jim Mora. Jeff Fisher. Fisher,
there you go.
My bad. Sorry, listeners. I need some caffeine.
When you confuse losers up, it just happens like that. It's all good.
So Jeff Fisher, last week, or I guess Sunday, went on an interview giving his side of the story. You know, he basically stood behind his selection of Jared Goff. But he also kind of called out the dysfunction of the Rams franchise. You know, he said basically that he wasn't really made aware ahead of time that his extension that he signed weeks before was going to be leaked out finally. And he basically was kind of upset about it. And you know what? I don't really blame him because he has a point. I don't really know what this Rams franchise is doing. They've proven that they have money, but have they proven that they're competent? Like,
not even close.
Like, they hit a home run with Aaron Donald. They got two solid players out of Robert Quinn. Above solid. They got two good players, Robert Quinn, Alec Ogletree. But other than that, have they really hit Todd Gurley? The judge is still out. Jared Goff, the judge is still off.
They have no offensive line.
So for those of you parading around in your Rams gear, I'm not really sure what you can expect because everyone here is talking about rehashing John Gruden as a head coach. Like, is that really the best option that you have? Like, is that really your best hope?
Other than that Super Bowl year when, honestly, if he had gone up against any other team other than the Oakland Raiders, would we be talking about the fact that he used to be that
DNA? It's not coach? Even that, though. Like, but it's, but other even, than that Super even beyond Bowl, that.
He didn't do anything.
Even beyond that. Because if you look at his record, he does have a winning record. You know, he only had like two losing seasons. Beyond that, it's the fact that he's so appealing, and this is something I heard on the radio earlier today, is that he's so appealing because he appears to be God, right? Because he's on Monday Night Football. He's the watcher. You're watching him as he's watching. So anything he says just sounds right. It sounds intelligent. And so people want to attach themselves to that. But that doesn't necessarily translate to him being a evaluator of talent, to him managing egos, managing coaches, and stuff like that. Because it's more than just being able to watch football and break it down. To be a coach, you've got to be able to manage players. You've got to be able to manage coaches. You've got to manage expectations. You got to manage the media. And a lot of people think he can do that just because he's a great brand on TV. But honestly,
he's been out of the game for a while.
And the game has drastically changed. I mean, when he played, the West Coast offense was the offense.
Now, Brad Johnson was the starting quarterback in the NFL.
Now you're talking about a lot more spread elements, a lot more shotgun elements, a lot more speed, frankly. So the Rams need to stop messing around. They need to find someone who's a bright young mind, who can come in and really kind of steer this franchise. It's tough because I don't really know who's out there. You know, I would look to someone who I don't think they should get a rookie head coach, you know, because it's going to take too much growing pains. And that team's already too young at key positions. They need someone.
Harbaugh.
I hate to say it. They need a Jack Del Rio.
They need a Jim Harbaugh.
They need a coach.
Hugh Jackson.
They need a coach who's proven that he can coach. He's proven he can do everything, right? But at the same time, he's been humbled enough to like want to do it that much more and that much better. To be able to look back and be like, I can do this better. Basically, something like a Tom Coughlin when he went to the Giants.
But Tom Coughlin, they're trying to get him to go back to Jacksonville, which is, and I think that's a perfect fit for him.
But I think he's too old.
But he's perfect what they
he's
need.
He's too old and too removed from the game. I mean, that's
not really.
That's,
he's only been 2 years.
But removed. I mean, like, mentally, like, but that's disconnect. The thing. Like, he's not going to be able to connect and relate with the players.
He doesn't have to. They need discipline and tough love, and they don't have that in that team right now. All the talent, the young talent they have, and they're getting nothing out of it. Like, you could fix a Blake Bortles, because he reminds me of a young Eli when Eli was throwing all those picks, just not as clutch. But, like, Blake Bortles is a guy. They have two franchise receivers. They have an offense. They just need
Here's a name that I'll throw out, and this is just throwing it out. Don't even know if he's going to be available. But let's just say Marvin Lewis is available. You think he fits with the Rams?
Think he'd be a stabilizing force.
But is he hungry? Do you think he would still be hungry enough to do it?
I mean, he's been in Cincinnati so long, it's kind of a toxic environment. It's almost like they need a break from each other.
Exactly, and he deserves to get another job for sure. I just don't know if it's going to be right a year away, or it might be a couple years away.
Would you want to give up coaching AJ Green? I wouldn't want to give up coaching AJ Green.
But I think it's just at that point where it's just like it needs to go separate ways, and it's not because he's a bad coach, but I think they just need
they've been there too long.
They need a new leader. Yeah. Because that the culture that's there, it's not a winning culture.
And he can bring...
Not a Super Bowl winning culture, at least.
He can at least bring a winning culture to the Rams. And then maybe they, you know, fire him and get somebody else afterwards. But, because that's how it usually works. I mean, John Gruden won a Super Bowl with Tony Dungy's players. So, it happens. But...
How about this one, too? Mike Tice. Why has he not gotten any head coaching consideration?
Do you remember how bad he was with the Vikings? Hey, I'm Dante Culpepper, and I got Ontario Smith.
Yeah.
I'm trying to throw it to Randy Moss.
Yeah, the 6-0 team that didn't make the playoffs, the first ever 6-0 team that didn't make the playoffs.
I don't know how that shit happened. Let me just throw it to Randy Moss all the time and still end up losing games.
But he's really transformed offensive lines since he's been an offensive line coach.
Chicago,
Atlanta.
I don't know about Chicago. Wait, a little bit.
You're talking about turning horrible into mediocre. Like, okay. That's good. And he's then made, Oakland, he's done a pretty good job.
Except at the right tackle spot. But that's not his fault.
It's really not.
He got, his name?
He's helped develop Gabe Jackson. He's helped develop John Feliciano.
He got Jamarcus Webb another contract. He made him a guard and got him another contract.
But here's one good thing about this whole Rams coaching situation. We're not going to hear Lane Kiffin's name, so that's good.
Thank God. They need to just flip. Like, at one point do you get rid of the GM? I think you got to clean house.
He's LA, gone. He's gone to me.
In LA, you got to just clean house.
Because these guys think they're in Missouri. You're not in Missouri anymore.
And Stan Kroenke doesn't even talk to the players. Not even allowed to talk to the players. So how are your owner that disconnected? Like, you don't even give a shit about your players like that. What's the point of you even being
It's called a billionaire.
Exactly.
Anyways, so let's move on to the rapid fire segment on the Touchdowns and Tangents podcast. For those of you who've never joined us, it's pretty simple. One of us says a simple statement. The other either agrees or disagrees by saying touchdown or turnover.
Yep.
Since the Pro Bowl rosters were just announced earlier this week, we're doing a special Pro Bowl edition. So each of us will talk about a Pro Bowl snub. And we'll say if it's a touchdown or a turnover that they got snubbed. Very simple, right? Well, hopefully Kenneth can keep it from going over and actually keep it rapid fire, but we'll see.
Ha ha ha.
Because this guy can't give one take without having a 5-paragraph essay behind it of just rambling.
Oh, wow. All right, fine. Now I'm just going to totally do the opposite. Okay, so two guys in particular, Matthew Stafford and Sean Lee. They were both snubbed. Touchdown or turnover?
Why are you grouping those two together?
Because they honestly are MVPs for their teams.
Stafford is a turnover. They're both turnovers. They should both be playing in the Pro Bowl. Because Stafford might be the league MVP, to be honest. He's probably not going to win the award because he plays in Detroit. But when you talk about a player like carrying a team, Stafford's right there. Like, look at his receivers. And you could say similar thing for, like, Aaron Rodgers maybe, but I would say Rodgers even has more talent around him than Stafford. So I'm going to say this is a turnover, or this is a touchdown. They both should have been in the Pro Bowl. All right, Kenneth. Melvin Gordon didn't make the Pro Bowl. Touchdown or turnover?
Touchdown. I don't think he should have made it. I was going to use this for my next point, but if LeGarrette Blount, who had over 1,000 yards and leads the league in rushing touchdowns, didn't make a Pro Bowl, you really think Gordon's going to make it either?
Melvin Gordon is actually 3 yards short of 1,000 yards, and he hasn't played in 2 games. And he also has 10 touchdowns. So, booyah. Just because you don't like running backs from Wisconsin doesn't mean this one shouldn't be in the...
Let's look at who made it at running back. LeSean McCoy, DeMarco Murray, Le'Veon Bell. Those are the three running backs for the AFC. Who are you going to say? You think McCoy and Murray should be taken out? LeGarrette Blount is the one person who should be in over one of those guys.
You put him over Murray?
He leads the league in rushing touchdowns.
So you put him over Murray?
Yeah.
Because I feel like Murray's the weakest link in there.
Yeah. McCoy, you could say, like, all right, he's consistent. But it's a down year for AFC running backs. I mean, I think it's a problem with how they picked it.
Next.
Okay, so touchdown or turnover. Dante Hightower for the middle linebackers for the AFC. CJ Mosley and Dante Hightower made the Pro Bowl.
What do those two players have in common?
At inside linebackers. Well, they both played essentially a 3-4 defense.
And what college did they go to?
They both went to Alabama.
Huh, coincidence?
Yeah, coincidence. One came right after the other. And both had histories of injuries. But Dante Hightower really only had, I think he had like 64 tackles, maybe like one and a half sacks. Didn't really have an impressive resume when there are other guys in the AFC who got snubbed over him. So, what would you say? Touchdown, turnover, that those two guys should be the Pro Bowlers.
I mean, when you're talking about the Pro Bowl, like, let's get it straight. Let's get it straight. This is voting by the fans, right? So, like I said, what do those two players have in common? Well, they both went to Alabama. They both played at the highest stage in college, and they both played for two perennial playoff teams, right? So, is it really a surprise that when someone goes through the ballot, the casual football fan who doesn't necessarily have a good middle linebacker on their team are probably going to eliminate everyone else but those two and vote them in? Is that fair to say?
That's fair.
So, I mean, who are you going to put in over?
Zach Brown would be a guy.
I'll give you that one.
Zach Brown has 130 tackles, 4 sacks, 2 forced fumbles, and an interception, and was completely left off the roster. And he ranks 8th among inside linebackers.
Like I said, it's marketing.
And by the way, the Raiders should have signed Zach Brown when they had the chance, but whatever. I call it that, but whatever.
All right. Are you ready for this one, Kenneth? The Pro Bowl is making its first appearance in Orlando this year. It's traditionally held in Hawaii. And for the past 3 years, it's been a mixed roster selected by 2 Hall of Famers. This year, it's reverting back to the old AFC versus NFC format. It will be played in Orlando. Is that a touchdown or a turnover?
Fortunately, it's a touchdown just because it's in a big market. And they're going to have dodgeball. They're going to have dodgeball.
So you really just want to see them play dodgeball?
Yes. And it's going to be in Florida.
Someone is probably going to fight.
Yeah.
Like, someone's going to get pegged in the head and probably fight.
Like, Drew Brees is going to show up and he's pissed because he got snubbed because, well, let's see. Let's look at Drew Brees' stats. He had 4,559 yards, 34 touchdowns, and completed 71.1% of his passes and was snubbed over the likes of Dak Prescott, Matt Ryan, and Aaron Rodgers, none of whom can even touch his stats. So he might just show up and just start beaming the shit out of people with dodgeballs.
Well, I don't think Dak should be in there, but he's only in there because of...
He plays for the Cowboys.
Exactly.
Because, yeah, that might be the biggest
thing of all. Him and Zeke are the first QB running back rookie tandem to make the Pro Bowl since like a merger or something crazy.
Yeah. And Breeze is just the most disrespected quarterback of all time other than Warren Moon. So, you know, it happens like that. But since, like I said, it's in Florida, a lot of these guys on the Pro Bowl are from Florida. They're going to be playing dodgeball.
Someone white good shot.
Wow, that's not even
free funny. Aaron.
That's foul. You're a terrible person.
Did I say that on the air?
You did. You really did.
Just kidding.
Just because you're a doppelganger.
Just kidding.
You probably testified against him in court.
Well, Kenneth, let's move into the final segment. Your favorite segment, the Tyrod segment, a.k.a. the Fourth and Forever segment, because you love to go on forever.
Yay.
So go ahead, Kenneth.
All right. This is a special time of year for me. Ironically, when I was younger, I'd say, like, I didn't give a shit about the holidays. And it all stems from the fact that my granddad died December 16th and was buried December 21st. I was 4 years old. I watched him die. He told me his last words and everything. So the holiday season, really don't mean shit to me. But I'd like to spread cheer and goodwill and good faith and all that because it's just the right thing to do. Now, you're asking, what does this shit have to do with anything? I'm getting to that. He was a diehard Raiders fan. He liked the Niners because they were from the Bay Area, but he could legit be considered just a Bay Area sports fan, but his heart was with the Raiders. And I ended up just becoming a Raiders fan just because, well, I'm a real nigga like that. And to be able to watch, when I watch them, yeah, I know, I just said that, sorry. To be able to watch them clinch that playoff, especially against the hated Chargers, like, after 14 years, like, I remember watching that Super Bowl in Vegas with my older sister on her birthday when they were getting blown out mercilessly. And there should be a 30-for-30 for that Super Bowl, by the way.
There really should be.
There really needs to be. Ben Robbins, everybody, there needs to be a 30-for-30 for that. F you, Bill Callahan, by the way. You ruined Nebraska and the Oakland Raiders. Thank you. But, yeah.
Should we pitch that?
Yes, I think we just did. But anyway.
Oh my God, that might have been the greatest idea you've ever had.
And I've had a lot of great ideas. But it feels good. It's like just to know that the Raiders are back and elite again and taking the NFL by storm, it feels good. And it's not like the mantra of the old Raiders where like they'd stab you in a parking lot and the cheerleaders would beat the hell out of you because there's some cheerleaders back in the day used to carry blades in their pom-poms. There's stories out there. And look up Angela Johnson. She's a comedian. She actually used to be a dancer for the Oakland Raiders and she has a hilarious story about that. But to wrap it up, it's just a great time. And in this holiday season, it's been a shit year. And I feel like to end the year, you should always try to find something that kept you going, that got you to this point. Because let's be honest, we could all easily be dead right now. Like, there's people you know who didn't make it. So, I'm thankful that, A, after the hellacious year I had last year and this year, that I'm at a point in my life where things are good and, you know, the Raiders are great again. So, I'm just going to choose the path of least resistance and look at the bright side of things rather than deviating to everything that's wrong and what could potentially happen next year with Donald Trump as president, all that other shit. But yeah, I'm just happy that the Raiders are good and if my granddad was alive, he'd probably be really happy and be popping a cigar somewhere. So yeah, that's all I gotta say. Happy holidays,
man. So, I spent a lot of my, you know, FaceTime here talking about the Oakland Raiders, and I try not to do that because clearly I'm a diehard Oakland Raiders fan, as hard as I try to be objective. And you know what? That's okay. Maybe if you're not a Raiders fan, you might be like, fuck these guys, and you probably already tuned out if you even clicked. But let me just say this, man. The Raiders haven't been in the playoffs since I've been a kid, since I was 10 years old. And if you look at my studio, aka my room, aka my office, I have a picture of the Snake and John Madden on my wall. And people always ask me, why are you a Raiders fan? And since I've been an adult, people have always questioned my Raiderhood. why are you a Raiders fan? They're sorry. They're sorry. And I think Kenneth just hit the point. It's like, if you're not a Raiders fan, you don't get it. You don't know what it's like to have the whole world against you. Whether it's on the football field, whether it's in the professional atmosphere, whether it's at the lunch table, wherever you're at. When you're a Raider, everyone knows it. Everyone's against you. And that's always been the mentality that I've had. A renegade, a trailblazer, an innovator. I want to knock some heads. I want to clear some paths. And that's what being a Raider's about. And that's why this is the only brand that I attach myself to. And so now that we finally put the on-field product, now that people are finally think it's cool to be a Raiders fan other than just the colors and other than it just being tight. Like, people are like, oh, I actually like watching Raiders games. I actually like the two California native white guys who are leading our franchise, Derek Carr and Jack Del Rio, who actually aren't corny white dudes and actually have culture and actually are cool human beings. And to just see it all come to fruition, to see this team go from 0-10 2 years ago, to see this team go 8-8 last year behind Del Rio, it's like people think this happened overnight. Son, this did not happen overnight. This has been brewing. Shout out to Reggie McKenzie. I didn't always believe in you, but you proved me wrong. Thank you, man. Thank you so much. Because honestly, words can't describe how I feel right now. And honestly, it's weird for me to sit here and think that the Raiders are going to win the Super Bowl. Because I've thought it for the past 14 years. But this year, it doesn't sound absurd. And that's crazy to me. That's crazy to me to play Madden and the Raiders are one of the best teams. Like, to not be the underdog when I play Madden. Like, to people say I'm cheating because I'm playing with the Raiders, even though I've been playing with them since they were like a 72 overall. Like, and that's the thing is, like, if you're not a Raider, you don't get it. And I know I'm kind of rambling, but it's just, I'm just speaking from the heart, man. I'm just so glad that the greatness is back. Just win, baby. That's all I got to say.
Shout out to Khalil Mack. Bruce Irvin also got snubbed from the Pro Bowl, but we won't talk about that.
Well, this has been the Touchdowns and Tangents podcast. Thank you for joining us again. You can catch us on Thursdays at 8-ish. I am PD Camarillo.
I'm Kenneth Berry. Hit me up on Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat, whatever, at Ozo Grande. Ozio Grande.
And I'm at Pete Certified on Twitter. You can catch all of my writings on there. I write about the Rams, Raiders, stuff like that. And have a happy holidays. Be safe. Don't drink and drive. Uber everywhere.
Uber everywhere.
And if you didn't hate this podcast, please share it. Tell your friends. Tell your cousins. Tell your stepsisters. Tell your fifth cousin that you may or may not have a crush on. Just rate us. Give us some stars. Give iTunes. Us a like. Whatever. Speaker, iTunes, SoundCloud, Touchdowns and Tangents.
Spreaker. S-P-R-E-A-K-E-R.
And we're out.
Deuces.